Welcome to Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's been a great morning so far. If you're just tuning in virtually, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us here in-house and also online. We are overjoyed to have you with us. Let me open in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We praise you and we honor you. You are an awesome, holy, and amazing, and a loving God. Thank you for allowing us to gather together here as part of your family, Lord, to bask in your love, to praise your name, to honor you, and to bring glory to you, to let you know today, Jesus, how thankful and how blessed and how encouraged we are to know that you cared for us so much. And Father God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross so that we could have life and everlasting life with you in the kingdom of heaven. Please accept our thanks, our love, and the honor we bring to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. We're in part of a mini-series here. It's called Go and Make Disciples. If you're new here, we welcome you. If you're new online virtually, we certainly welcome you there. We're going through kind of a seasonal change in our church. We'll be talking about making disciples and transforming our church a little bit this spring. Last week, we introduced a new series which brings the focus of our church to the biblical truth that disciples are called to make other disciples. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we hear and we accept his word, and we earnestly seek to accomplish what he commands of his disciples to do. We must remember, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Teach them to obey my commands. So if we are disciples, we are obligated to follow Jesus and obey him. And if we are not disciples, yet call ourselves Christians, if we are not seriously committed to accomplishing his will and desire, but our own, then as Christians who do not seek and claim the authority of a disciple and the command to make disciples, we would actually be representing the failure of the church to accomplish this command. Now I say that because we're on a seasonal shift. We've been seeking direction. We've been seeking God's guidance for our church. We've been through a season of rebuilding and restorative concepts and changes. And this is the direction that God is taking us. So as I'm speaking not just the Word of God, I'll also be speaking directly to our church, Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church. God did not say, go and make self-willed disciples or believers who seek to accomplish their own will. So I want to ask you, as I've said previously, this series will be hard-hitting, it will be challenging. And so, aside from preaching the Word of God, we're going to be challenging each other directly in our church simultaneously. Knowing what I just said, a disciple is a reproducing vessel of God, making more disciples, as active in the church, active in the kingdom of God. And knowing that I just said some people are Christians and they don't get motivated, they don't understand. They may even come to the point of belief and obtain salvation. And I'm going to be dealing directly with that. We're going to talk about the Christian who actually achieves a level of salvation but fails to grasp the obedience of the commands of God. The first thing I want to ask you to challenge you, I want to ask you, do you think that a Christian who seeks his own will is what the Bible calls lukewarm? Do you think that the term lukewarm spoken by Jesus refers to a Christian who is not willing to engage in service to the kingdom of his Lord? I want you to think about that. I'd like you to answer that question in your own mind. What do you think lukewarm means? We'll see what God says about that in Revelation 3, 14 through 16. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 16. Starting in 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay, this doesn't require much. Cold is absolutely rejecting Jesus Christ. And God says, I'd rather have you just absolutely rejecting Jesus, walk into a church perhaps, learn all about Him, hear a song about His grace and mercy, hear about that death on the cross, and say, you know what? I want that. I'm going to make a decision to choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am ice cold and I'm choosing Christ. God says, I'd rather have you ice cold. Learn about me and choose me and make my son your Lord and Savior. Choose Jesus. Ask for your sins to be forgiven. But then, here doesn't require much. It's that middle ground. And God plainly says here, I'd rather have you cold or hot. So what is hot? The cold is more easy to explain. What is hot? And I'm asking you, I'm challenging you and asking you, what is hot? God says, I'd rather have you cold, completely rejecting my son. That's his word. It's Christ speaking, the angel of the Lord. It is Christ speaking to not an individual, but to the church. And I love this because we're talking to the church and to individuals at the same time in this series. Lukewarm, I will spit out. Hot, what is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. To me, it's someone who's fiery to serve, wants to engage, understands that the Lord that they have chosen, Jesus Christ, has a kingdom, and the kingdom has work to do, and there are needs. There are every kind of needs, and I can be of service to Him, and I'm hot to find out. I've always said over the years, I'm not very good at anything, but I want to be better. I'm not the best at everything, but I want to be better. But I know what it means to engage in service to the kingdom of my Lord Jesus, and I'm signing up for that. I want to do that. Amen? To me, that's hot. Worship, fervor, a heart that's ablaze for Him, understanding, giving your life to Christ, praying continually, leaning on Him for everything and sharing Him and being vocal about my love for Jesus, that's hot. What is hot to you? What is lukewarm? And I'm challenging our church to make some changes. Let's read Matthew 28, 16 through 20 again together. It's been the foundation of our message for the last couple of weeks. Matthew 28, starting in 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up to them. He came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we're going to break this down a little today. We'll be talking about the Word of God, and we'll be talking about the challenge and the changes we're asking God to bring into our church itself. Here we see three main objects in the Scripture that stand out. Supreme authority in verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Here we give supreme authority to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The New Testament, here in Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church, we look to the New Testament as the supreme authority for the guidance and the conduct and the manner in which we should live our Christian life. Christ wrote it. He has supreme authority over all that exists, and it is our honor to do our best. And I always say, as was even prayed here this morning, are any of us perfect? No. No, we're not. The goal is to be honorable, to honor God, to build character and dignity and honor and seek righteousness. We just had a sermon a couple of weeks ago. The Bible says to seek peace and holiness or righteousness, that which without no one will see the Lord. And that is Scripture. To be a church of peace and holiness, seeking righteousness and or holiness. The Bible says that which no one will see the Lord. We are inclined to do more than just to receive Jesus Christ in the Bible. We see strong affirmation of Trinitarianism. In case you wonder about the Trinity, about God, three in one. We see that it says in 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is a strong advocation for Trinitarianism. God exists in three equal persons. Each person has his own will and his own mindset. Yet the three make up one. And we see in verse 20 that the command goes beyond conversion. Cold people convert. I'd rather have you be ice cold, totally rejecting Jesus Christ. Come in here and say, I don't know him. I've never received him. I have nothing to do with him. And make a decision when you hear the gospel to convert to Jesus Christ. The command goes beyond conversion. Teaching them, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Practical truths we must embrace. God calls the church to be an active workplace. I said last week, a busy beehive. But it is busy doing the work of Christ and serving the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is that which we belong. We are subjects of a kingdom. And that kingdom belongs to Jesus Christ. There'll be no entrance into heaven other than the entrance into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven who is not a subject of the kingdom. That is someone who has given their heart, mind, body, and soul in love and made a conscious decision to receive and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We intend to be moved out of our comfort zone. The church is moving out of our comfort zone. Now I'm speaking directly to Brentwood Lighthouse. We will be moved out of our comfort zone. People will come. People will come that we haven't seen before and we'll say, we love you and you are welcome here. And more importantly, God loves you. God loves you more than anything. You are welcome. You are loved by a holy and an awesome and an amazing God. And we are thankful and joyful to have you. We'll be moving out of our comfort zone. And we will say, you are welcome and you are loved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's exciting. Christ will always be with us. Our focus is on Him and His command until the age ends. The focus is making disciples, loving people, being moved out of your comfort zone. Do you think it's difficult to have a ministry in the streets and go and to intend to have relational fellowship and communication with someone who's living on the street? It's difficult. But in this church, we have a vital and vibrant ministry that does just that. Out of our comfort zone. Do you think that describes hot? Going back to our challenge. I'd rather have you cold or hot. And what do you think describes lukewarm? Just sitting in church and showing up. We're not going to go there because it's not going to be the momentum of our church anymore. We all know. Lukewarm is just sitting and basking in what we already have. We're moving. The kingdom is moving. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is moving like a speeding freight train. And that those that take hold of that which has taken hold of you and jump on. It is moving. It is moving fast. It is spinning through time. And the kingdom is inviting everyone because Jesus is with us. How long? Until the age ends and then forever. Now, at the end of the age, so we're moving quickly along, active and busy serving our Lord. Not busy bodies, but busy in service to our Lord, intentional and purposeful. Out of our comfort zone and totally challenged. In the land of blessing and leaning on God's understanding and His mercy and His grace. At the end of the age, it's over. Christ comes bodily. Amen. To touch, first to gather us all up, every subject of His kingdom. We've discussed it. What is the subject of the kingdom? It's been explained. One who accepts and receives Jesus Christ, heart, mind, body, and soul, and is devoted to Him. At the end of the age, Christ touches His foot on the Mount of Olives. The physical Christ on the physical earth, and there'll be an earthquake at that time so great it'll change the geographical condition of the earth, and it'll split the Mount of Olives and create a massive valley right there where the Mount of Olives is. And Israel will escape the enemies of the world, God's enemies who are surrounding her and attacking her at that time. When Jesus touches foot at the end of the age, the mountain will split. The valley will be created and Israel will escape out that valley. That is a prophetical fact of God. They're going to escape the enemies and Christ is going to swoop in at the end of the age and the rest of you know what's going to happen by the sword of His mouth. What is He going to do? Strike down the enemies of God. And that is a fact. He's with us till the end of the age. I think we have a job to do. We have some tasks at hand as members of His kingdom. Practical truths we must embrace. God has given Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church a very obedient foundation. Church, I want to celebrate with you. This church has a very obedient foundation. That's why my wife and I love it. That's why many of you have sustained it over the years. That is why many people are watching and searching for us online and coming through the doors here and saying, I saw that you were a traditional, uncompromising, Christ-centered, Bible-teaching church. And I said, that is exactly what we are. And one woman said, I've been searching for this for months. She came here, and within a few more months, she was a member, and she's a steadfast, active proponent of Christ's kingdom here now. People are searching for that in the world. This is a gift. We're going to embrace the fact today. Nothing could be better than building on gold, silver, and precious stones. And this is what I'm saying. Here at Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're building on gold and silver and precious stones. That is the foundational truth of the Bible. Sin is not invading this church. We're not degrading the Word of God to fill the seats. And it's not going to happen. Amen? Thank you, church. We have that. Embrace that truth. Embrace that truth. Am I perfect? No, I am not. But I know what the truth of God is, and I want to be near it. Amen? Amen? Let's take a look regarding building on gold and silver. See where we are as a church. Evaluate where you want to be as a Christian. There are churches now, locally, all around the world, there are massive churches that are inviting sexual immorality to come right in and be recognized as totally acceptable. They're inviting sexual immorality to come up and lead from the pulpit. I tell you, it's unacceptable. Would Christ, our holy King, remember the Bible says that we would be a church seeking peace and holiness, without which no one will see the kingdom of God. Do you think our Lord Jesus Christ would invite a leader of a church to tell the rest of the church, this sinful life I'm living is perfectly acceptable? Look what's happening in the church today. Now, we're not governing over them. We're not dictating over them. We are governing over ourselves. And this is who we are. This is a truth, our firm foundation, that must be embraced and shared with an ever-sinful world and an ever-falling-away Christian body in the world. The enemy is within. The enemy is within the church in America and abroad. And he's there to tell you that sin is acceptable. I'm not perfect. I still sin. But I know that sin is wrong. And I declare that I don't want to do it. And I confess and admit that I still have sin, that I still commit sin, and that I don't want to. And I know that God despises it. Amen? I'm free. My conscience is clear. I just cleared it. God, I do it. And I know your word says different. And I'm not going to lead or tell any form of your Christian family that it's okay. Not going to happen. Thirdly, we must embrace God's command and begin increasing our efforts as a church to become a healthy, vibrant, reproducing community. Because now I know in my heart that we're reproducing in gold and silver. I want to read 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through 14. Starting in chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That covers what I said about Christians who come in the church and actually achieve salvation. There are some serious matters for Christians. Christians who achieve salvation, but the Bible says will end up in heaven suffering loss and looking as though they have been burned by fire. I don't know about you, but I prefer to go to heaven if I have a chance, as imperfect as I am, to get to heaven building on gold, silver, and precious stones, which are in fact the truths of God, the foundational principles of God. The world is saying otherwise. There are churches today that would have you show up at the kingdom of God through the testing of fire and have been taught to accept that sin is approved. It is not, and I'm not sinless. I know better. Disciples make disciples and bear much fruit. Take a look at Mark 4, 18 through 20. Mark 4, 18 through 20. Starting in Mark, verse 18, chapter 4. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the, get this church, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Say no more. Desiring other things caught my attention here. It seems to me that the American church and many in the church have desired other things. What does the Bible say? Do I need to say that sexual immorality is the most called out, most prevalent sin, is the highest order of sin unto God because it destroys the family? It destroys the procreation, God's original intention for the family. It is the highest order of God to name sexual immorality as sin. You have churches today welcoming it and teaching you that it is acceptable and that if you love, that you should embrace that. Even if you don't embrace it, you don't love. Disciples hear, accept, and multiply, bearing much fruit. Back in Mark 4:20, we see they hear the word. They accept the word. Sin is sin. I accept that. I'm not perfect. God says it. I accept that. My conscience is clear. My work is laid out. And I know what I have to do. And I'm loving God for that. Disciples hear and accept. And they obey the word. In closing, as we wind down, a challenge to everybody here in the church, and if you're out there listening, this challenge goes out to you as well. Every person actively participating in some way in the kingdom, in producing fruit in the kingdom, every Christian has a place and a calling, has been given gifts by God through the Holy Spirit to take their place and actively participate in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Be fruitful and multiply. This is the first command given by God to humanity. Take a look at Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Interesting fact. I love this. Genesis 1, 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply was the first command given by God to all of humanity. Everyone active, fruitfully multiplying, accepting your role in the Great Commission, which is to build the kingdom of Christ. Church, I challenge you, we're going to start coming alongside others, taking your role. I want to complete this week with this. Every person in our church, every member of our church, every Christian, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you're listening out there, I want you to take a slight inventory this week of what you're doing for the kingdom. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are a subject of heaven. I know you don't want to get there looking like you've been burned by fire, having all your work burned up as hay or straw. I know that you love Jesus and you desire to earn rewards that will be given at the white throne of judgment when Jesus gives us the blessings. That is on his second coming. There are rewards to be had. I believe you want to earn those rewards. They have nothing to do with salvation. They have to do with our Christian life right here on earth. Take an inventory of what you are doing. How are you participating? I'm looking around the room now. I see someone who calls me every time they see a need. I see someone who messages me when the homeless ministry needs something. I see people who message me and say, hey, can I get that for you? And what else do you need? I see people that serve. I see people that sing. I see people that pray. I see people that encourage. And I see people that are bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, serving, taking office in the church. So I just want to ask you and myself to evaluate what it is that you are doing that would make you active, that you would be actively participating in some way in prospering, in serving, in blessing, and in growing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's always said, God doesn't need my service. I don't have to. I get to. I don't have to. I get to. You don't have to. You get to. It is our honor to serve the Lord. If there's something you can improve, if you want to volunteer for more, if you want to do more, you certainly can. There's something I wanted to say that I don't say very often. If you're praying, giving, serving, taking office, giving in this church, you'll notice that in a traditional, steadfast church like ours, we don't pass a collection plate here. You didn't see it. You're thinking, oh, I didn't even see that. Because we don't do it. Disciples know how to give. There's a simple tin on the back table. No one sees, no one knows. If you love God and you're supporting his kingdom, the gifts go in that tin. No one is the wiser, and there's no procession going on here. I also want to say to those of you watching virtually that for the first time in all of these years, 42 years, this church now has online giving. Not only do we not pass a plate, but we've never had online giving. And we are strong and mighty in faith and making a huge impact in the world. If you want to give online, go to blb.church. Hit the three bars for the menu bar and just select giving. And for the first time in a 42-year history of this church, people are open to do that. The reason why I say it and what God is showing me is I'm going to say it with boldness. There's not many churches like ours left. There's not thousands of people here. There are tens, twenties, and thirties. And the vision we have and the firm foundation for obedience is not going to be met with thousands of Christians that may perhaps be lukewarm in their growth. They may be learning things and be misled in obedience, thinking that sin is acceptable. That's beyond our scope. What we have here bears out in evidence, in truth, in foundation. You can go online and you can now support Brentwood Lighthouse. BLB.church. And we appreciate that. In closing, God desires everyone to come into His family. So much so that He provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to be punished as the substitute for the punishment that you and I deserve. Let's take a look at 2 Peter 3:9 in closing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You won't find a sugar-coated gospel here. You find the truth. Repentance is what God desires. Many times I've said, the words won't save you. God desires repentance. It's clear in the Bible. That is for each of us to acknowledge that we are sinners. We are not holy and pure apart from God. And that our sin has caused His Son to offer His life on the cross. See, if you don't realize that your sin is part of the reason why God's Son had to die on that cross, then you really haven't understood what repentance is. Repentance is my act to say, God, I realize. God desires repentance. I realize that my sin has hurt you and is part of the reason why in your love you had to send your Son to offer His life willingly on that cross to pay the penalty that I owed. And God, I understand it and I'm filled with regret. I'm understanding sorrow on the spiritual level for the first time. If that's you today, we're going to pray. I would ask you to search deep in your heart. And if you're finding repentance and seeking forgiveness, that you would align yourself with God today and receive Christ. If that's you, pray with me. Heads down, hearts bowed. Just pray with me. Just utter the words in your mind. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned against You. And I understand that my sin is the reason that Your Son was punished on that cross. I know that He offered His life willingly because of His great love for me. Today, God, I open my heart. I ask You to forgive me of my sin, and I choose to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I desire to follow Him as Lord of my life. And I thank You, God, for such a precious and amazing gift according to Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, church. Okay, in closing, Sister Yuki will sing us a song, and I'll close us in prayer. Hold your seat. Thank you, church.